Around Comics, episode 25.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the producer of the show, Brian Salazar.
Hello.
And we are joined by our Around Comics regular, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello.
And our Thursday episode regular, Mr. Mark Beatty.
Hey, guys.
This is, besides being a midweek episode of Around Comics, which is a much shorter, just kind of off-the-cuff episode, so if you are a first-time listener, please, I would encourage you to go back and listen to Monday's episode. It will give you the full Around Comics experience, complete with news and top-of-the-stack reviews and recommendations. But besides that, this is our 25th episode.
We beat the odds, guys.
We just kept fighting and struggling and, you know, to the grindstone. And
quarter centennial episode.
Not many people from where we're from get to be 25.
I just personally want to thank Beer for making this possible.
And Guitar Center.
And Simpsons Fruit Snacks.
Yes, absolutely.
25 cent
so,
books.
So, yeah, I yeah, you guys have kind of been here from the beginning, so it's exciting. So, anyway, blah blah blah.
I was here before podcast got stupid.
It was so exciting that 10 seconds before we started recording, Brian said, "Yeah, this is gonna be our 25th episode." I was like, "Oh, really?"
So it's gonna be awkward that we're gonna be here for 4 hours recording. Now.
Yes, this is gonna be the 4 hour episode.
Run the clips.
Good God!
Yeah,
okay.
clip show.
It's the best of.
No, all right. This is a shorter episode. If anyone has listened to our midweek episodes, you know that we don't take things nearly as seriously as we do on our really serious Monday podcast about comic books. This is where we just kind of pull a topic out of the air and chit chat about it for a little while. Today we're gonna talk about underrated, overrated. It's part of the comics industry is that there are overrated artists and writers, and there are extremely underrated artists and writers. So we're going to talk about probably a little bit of both, but probably more on the underrated side. Are you putting effects on me? What are you doing?
What? I just wanted everyone to know we're in our new location, the Batcave.
No.
There's a giant penny over here.
Look at the size of that dinosaur. Yeah.
Sal's having fun with the mixing board. He just kind of like keeps looking over and grinning. All right, anyway.
Tom, how does he get those costumes to float in those jars?
It's
the floating head. All right, guys. You want to start off with some overrated? Anybody got any overrated creators? Or you want to go to...
all
Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, you had to start off with that one, didn't you?
You just had to drop
the hammer. Right,
I do not agree with that sentiment, but Mark, there are a lot of people who do.
I just have problems with him.
Well,
I'm glad that he's finally handing books off to other people, and there are certain books that I do love of his, like Powers. I think is a fantastic book. Mm-hmm. I do like Amazing Spider-Man. Less freaking jabbering would be nice. You don't need a whole episode with him and Mary Jane talking about their relationship. They're 14.
Okay, hold on. Before we get too far into this stupidity of overrated, underrated, I think we should, sort of preface it by saying, what is it that makes someone overrated? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could say it to some degree about any creator
that's
popular or, you know, a mainstream guy. But, you know, if you're going to claim somebody's overrated, why... Why do you not just you don't like their work, or
do they get more acclaim than a similarly talented or gifted creator, whether it be an artist or writer? You know, you can say that Geoff Johns is a great writer, which he is, but is he any more talented than someone like Brian Wood?
Different kind of talented. That's a good question, though.
It's hard to say because we haven't seen Brian Wood try and write superheroes. And we haven't really seen, I mean, at least I haven't really seen Geoff Johns write
anything besides
anything besides superheroes.
Well, we look at a guy. you and I were talking today about the Punisher, the Max series, and that is Garth Ennis in his playground, and is so good. When I read some other things that Ennis writes,
Fury
Peacemaker, and I've harped on it on the show before. It is, in my opinion, not a strong book. And I read Punisher Max, and it's one of my favorites.
I mean, I think that's sort of what we have to try and figure out, defining, you know, what makes somebody overrated. Garth Ennis is very good at certain things, but sometimes, like anyone else, he can miss. And, you know, I like his Ghost Rider. I love the character Ghost Rider. I thought it was going to be great. I hated it. I did not enjoy that run at all, that mini at all. I thought it was terrible. But I like, you know, I love Preacher. I love, you know, his Hellblazer stuff, and you know, Punisher's fantastic.
But he's had some misses.
Sure, but who hasn't? I mean, I don't think you can look
back at Bendis, and I love his single hero books. His run on Daredevil is will go down for me as one of the best runs on a single character book. It's not for me as good as maybe Miller's run on Daredevil, but it's up there. I think they're neck and neck in my opinion. You know, but you look at his stuff. I don't think that his New Avengers is nearly as strong as his single character books, like Ultimate Spider-Man. Like,
you see a lot of guys that can't translate from doing a team book to a solo book, or from a solo book to a team book. And one example I was thinking of today, which is funny that you brought that up, is on the forum we were kind of talking about. I mentioned that Deadly Genesis for me just didn't work, like towards the end of the book. And Brubaker book, and Brubaker's great. Captain America and Daredevil are fantastic books, but I think the sort of skills that go into writing that type of book, when translating into writing a book where you have to show different points of view from a bunch of different characters, isn't necessarily easy to switch to. And vice versa, someone who writes a really good team book may not be able to translate that same dynamic into writing solo book.
I'll tell you a guy who writes a great team book, but also writes a really good solo book, and this is going to go in my underrated, and that's Kurt Busiek.
How are you underrating Kurt Busiek, really?
Well, you don't really hear people.
He
wrote Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
consider
Avengers.
Marvels better than Kingdom Come. I know some people argue that point, but simply put, it's a better written book.
Yeah.
Anybody could have written Kingdom Come. It's just a dynamic book. It's just the fact of superheroes fighting and everything. That's what everybody loves. The story is a good story, but
if you ask most comic fans today and say, who are your top five writers?
It's just because he's been around so long, and he pops out of the scene so much. He goes back.
That's why
he goes back to Astro City. Mm-hmm. Which me and Sal were talking about, which I think is definitely one of the best independently owned series out
ongoing.
There.
My only contention with him is a lot of his stuff is very similar in its approach. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting the first time. You know, Marvel's fantastic. He looked, you know, taking a look at realistic people, you know, a realistic view of if superheroes existed at that time, if they came about. And it was done extremely well. But then he kind of did the same thing with Astro City. He changed, you know, some things and added some dynamics to that, mm-hmm. but a lot of his stuff has sort of been in that similar vein of him exploring, you know, the effects of superpowered beings coming into a very real world, and you see that a lot in other books now. People following up on that and you know, duplicating that kind of work. So while I enjoy a lot of what he's done, does that show him, you know, with a limit to where he can go? Because I've read some other stuff of his that isn't anything like that,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it's nearly as good or nearly as strong written.
I loved his work on Avengers with Perez. Yeah.
He's rocking Aquaman hard now. Aquaman's good.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. Really I can't comment on that one. But yeah. I didn't think his Avengers stuff was all that good, actually.
I had to agree with Sal. It wasn't fantastic. It was a lot of retread stuff, but it was still entertaining. It just wasn't fantastic. Yeah. I wouldn't put up there with some of the best runs I've read.
It wasn't Astro City or Marvels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's a lot to ask for a creator to constantly hit, you know, high a level. But
I think he's working with Perez, who has his own ideas, so you're kind of having to integrate his ideas and your ideas.
And you're working with Marvel.
and trying to revamp that title and re-energize it, too, at the same
time. Well, I think that's a lot of things that maybe people don't look at when they're judging, you know. I mean, one of my things, you know, with Bendis, a lot of people, you know, I mean, he was huge. And, you know, people loved his stuff when he first came around. And then it's like, it's that syndrome of if you're on the top of the mountain, everybody sooner or later is going to get sick of you. And sick of hearing how good you are, and sick of hearing everybody talk about you, and then they're just going to start taking shots at you. People bitch about his Avengers stuff, but looking over the history of the Avengers, how much real great Avengers work has there really been done? It's a hard book to write. Mm-hmm. It's not, and there, I don't think there's been that many fantastic runs on the Avengers, do you? I mean, by comparison.
Jeff Johns. Jeff Johns had a really good run. It was just starting to pick up steam.
I thought it was good, but I wouldn't call it great.
I thought it was a very good run on the Avengers. It was quiet, though. But he used guys that nobody could use. He made the Falcon kind of cool. Who the hell could do that? He's still not cool, even in Brubaker's book.
Oh, Brubaker makes him
He's
cool.
Okay,
Ultimate
but he's not.
Falcon's pretty cool.
Ultimate Falcon is cool. But that's Mark Millar, and I do like him.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, me too. But I was just, I'm just looking at it by comparison. It's like sometimes we judge these works, and because they're not instant classics or you know the next revolutionary thing, but judge them by the history of the book. I like Bendis's Avengers. Is it perfect? No, but
I just don't think he had much respect for his readers when he did that whole Ronin thing. And I think that sometimes we all look at Ultimate Spider-Man so fantastic and everything, and really it's just a retread of what Stan Lee and Steve Ditko did, and then John Romita.
Yeah, but
it's the same character. He just revamps it, and he updates it, and he does. But would it be as good without good storytelling from Mark Bagley?
Yeah, but that's not his fault that that's what Marvel wanted to do with that book. I mean, that was...
And that's been his idea, though, from what I understand. That was pretty
much
all his.
Well, he was involved in... But all the Ultimate stuff is... that was the concept, was we're going to take them and rewrite these stories. And
well, I think after the origin, I mean, they're not retellings of the stories. It's reintroductions of characters and
specific events to some degree, but not. To me, the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, he did so well to me is he took a character and all that history and he's using it to try and introduce it to new readers and to people that maybe didn't read Spider-Man and a younger generation of people that could, you know.
I just think he yaps too much.
Well, that's something different.
He talks way too much in the book. The pacing is slow. Daredevil was a fantastic book when you read it in gigantic arcs. When you grab one of the trades, it works really well in trade format, but it didn't work well in comic format. It started just getting stretched out farther and farther. Stories that lasted, you know, 5-6 issues could have been done in two.
Well, the farther that series went, it seemed like that was how it was going. And I was glad that he passed it along to Brubaker when he did.
I thought it was much more concise writer.
Well, I thought it was a good time for him to do that. Other guys that we may want to look at as far as the overrated, underrated, Jeff Johns. You know, if we're talking about Bendis, we kind of have to talk about the other man on top of the mountain right now.
Yeah.
So kind of going over to the DC side. Tom is a huge Flash fan. You're a big Jeff Johns fan. Would you call Johns' work overrated, underrated, or where it needs to be?
It kind of depends, I think, on which title you're talking about. I mean, the Flash, I think, in a weird way, was underrated for a really long time. Because it really is, it's amazing you look at a character that's been around for so long, and someone who just in the last like 5 or 6 years maybe wrote maybe the best set of Flash stories that you know had been written, and that's not easy to say because there's been really good writers on the Flash, people who have written it for you know years and years. Then you look at something like JSA, he is the JSA. He wrote that entire series pretty much after Robinson.
Yeah, James Robinson.
But I mean like. 95% of it is Jeff Johns. So how do you rate? I mean, you have nothing to compare it to besides like old All-Star Squadron, but I don't think
it seems like to me that Jeff Johns, he just writes group books much better than anybody else in the business.
Feels that, but yeah.
And he can write those second and third.
Flash wasn't a group book, but maybe that's why
he changed it into. He expanded it.
There are many more points of view and perspectives and characters. Yeah,
is that maybe why he wrote the Rogues so good? Is that he really wrote?
He knows how to write.
He knows how to write
people.
From a lot of different perspectives and put you in that mindset.
Yeah, I don't know if he could do a single person book without making the guys in the background all step forward a little bit.
Yeah, because
I don't know if he could really do that book, but he does do. I mean, his run on Action Comics and Superman right now is really really excellent, yeah. And there's really not that much in the background besides Clark and Lois.
Yeah.
So he's doing pretty good on that.
My only bone to pick with Johns is that, and this is something that I think a lot of fans like about his stuff, is I think sometimes it's too ingrained in the history of the characters that...
You feel that like they're tethered to that?
No, I think he does an excellent job of using it. I think he's a student of comics. I think he loves comics, and I think he does a great job. I think he does it very well, but as someone that may not be familiar with those characters, I mean, Tom is a Flash fan, loves the stuff that he does with the Flash because he knows these characters, he's invested in these characters. But if someone like me, who hasn't really read that much Flash, went into it, I'm not going to get the same thing out of it and may even be confused to some degree because he uses that so much.
Well, that was the whole thing with Infinite Crisis.
The exact same thing is that he, for old, you know, old school fans that have been, you know, growing up reading that stuff,
it's a huge payoff.
They love it. But not everybody, you know, it's like I've been a DC fan, you know, all my life, but I was never that connected with a lot of those characters that I saw. I mean, he's pulling out, you know, obscure characters and obscure references to stuff.
But you'll never get to know him if he doesn't. I mean, you haven't been reading for the last 20 years. I mean, I could say I have, and I know DC well enough, but I was never a huge DC fan, but I like the fact that he used
there's
these guys
sort
and
of
kind
a,
of brought them back out. And
there's a more complicated like, pros and cons, I think, to using obscure characters than just... Because I see a lot of people come out and say, I don't want to read a book with obscure characters, or kind of say that, kind of be leaning towards that, but also say, I don't want to read a book with characters that have a ton of history I don't understand. Which, when you really look at it, an obscure character who's only appeared, you know, 5 or 6 times, that's might be the character you want to start reading or might want to be interested in. Because there isn't a whole lot of history, really, to that character. And I think sometimes there's a disconnect because I don't only think this is Johns. I think sometimes different writers will bring back obscure characters and you'll get confused because they write those obscure characters so well that you think these people have been around forever. And then when you really look at it, this character hasn't been around a whole lot. Yeah. Like, you read it and you're like, oh, there must be more with, you know, this, you know. I'm trying to think of someone specific, like Heatwave or something. Like, Heatwave was in a lot of old Flash comics, but there's a lot of stuff. You could read Flash for years and you won't pick up the stuff John's put into that character, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like that's how that character has always been, and that character's
He's expanding their history quickly and
yeah.
Well, making them more interesting.
Right. Well, he's making them complex characters.
Which nobody did. They just basically came like in, robbed the bank, flashed up.
I'm not arguing that he's... I mean, I think he's a terrific writer, and I think he does it extremely well. My only
point is that sometimes
it's just like he does it too well, you know, where it's like...
Well, it's kind of like when you're a fan and you want to think of how to suggest a book to somebody that they won't get confused. It's hard... And I imagine it's even harder for someone who's obviously obsessed with comics to, like, distance yourself so much. I know when someone
would
asks me...
Would that be like you, Tom?
Yeah, someone asks me to recommend something that they'll understand. It's hard to forget, you know?
What
like,
you
hard
know,
to
yeah.
forget what you know.
Well, it's like taking someone to a baseball game for the first time.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything about baseball.
Yeah, and it's hard to make yourself...
That. I was actually thinking that exact same thing.
Yeah, it's hard to make yourself
to...
forget the rules to be in their spot again, you know? Yeah. So I think it's a real interesting... sort of dichotomy to break up the big words.
Listen to Around Comics new every Monday, and now with all new and improved bumpers between segments. The anticipation is killing you, isn't it?
Warren Ellis. Underrated, overrated?
Right in the
thought
middle.
Of, thought of
I
where
think
he needs
he's,
to be.
I have
he
not disliked anything
so
he's
much
really
too.
Written in I don't know how many years now. And he writes one of my favorite books of all time, which is Planetary.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't think he can be overrated. The man's brilliant. and I've never seen somebody put out so much good work of, you know, different types of stories, different types of characters. like you, Mark, there's rarely been anything that I haven't enjoyed of his in the last, I don't know how many years. Yeah. He just continues to put out amazing stuff. If anything, he's underrated to some degree because, hasn't been quite elevated to that status.
Yeah. And I think that's more of his maybe own choice because I think he prefers to not work in mainstream
He's a bit reclusive to some degree. He doesn't do cons. He doesn't really do interviews much.
He chats a lot.
He loves the internet. And
he posts every day. He writes something like 10,000 words a day or something.
He's constantly.
Whether it's online or in a book or just doing his projects, he has some limit or something.
I spent a lot of time over the last couple of years on his message board, or the last year, or however long he's had it on, and the one before that. And, I mean, he's a scary, smart guy that is constantly... The thing that amazes me about him is he'll post, like, a little thing on his message board, like a little story he found somewhere, and you just go and look at it and go, what the hell is that? And then you'll see how he used it later on in a story, and it's like, wow, that was... His ability to sort of look, into things and figure out a way to tell
incorporate
that.
Incorporate him.
Yeah,
into
it's just amazing. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
How he uses tech.
Well, the fact that he goes around and finds real tech or theory tech fits it into a story somehow is amazing because it's all real, theoretically.
Right.
Real stuff in his books. I mean, he must do nothing but type, talk on his website, and then just search news and weird scientific sites and stuff and drink. Can be a weekend if
he considers himself a futurist, which, the whole Tony Stark thing. Yeah. I think that whole, that whole speech in the Avengers was probably written by him because he's, he's certainly a futurist.
It was Bendis channeling Ellis, I think.
He's so knowledgeable about comics, about the history of comics, about writers, about... I mean, he offhanded once recommended some books on writing. Crap, I never heard of some of this stuff. And like this one book it's called Hell's Gatekeepers. Or no, Hell's Cartographers.
Okay.
And it was like five science fiction writers talking about their craft and everything. And I got a hardcover on it, like used for like $3 somewhere. And I never heard of any of the writers. I think I heard of one of them, and it was just unbelievable stuff. I mean, just great. He just constantly has the ability to come up with stuff like that. Day after day on that web board of his. He's a pretty amazing guy. He's brilliant.
Brian Azzarello.
Wow, that was amazing. I was gonna say the same name just now.
Right.
You guys are in tune.
We're on the same side of the table. We both wear glasses. That's just weird.
I hate to say it. I think he's a little overrated.
I was going to say the same thing. I do like him. I like 100 Bullets. I think it's fantastic.
I like 100 Bullets.
I lost interest at some point. And I'm going to go back and pick them all up when he's done and read them.
I think his Batman and Superman runs hurt him for a lot of mainstream fans.
Did he do a Batman run?
He did a Batman with
Rizzo. Before all this stuff.
Before Jim Lee. Yeah, he did Broken City.
I remember reading. Yeah, it was okay. The Superman one was terrible. Their Superman run was terrible, absolutely terrible.
I will be the first one to say this.
If you go back and read that after,
it was an infinite crisis.
It works a little bit better. I know it does, but it still was not
to me
fit in the hype.
To me, to some degree, he seems like a writer who is trying to show how complicated of a story he can write sometimes, and it's not really a payoff. I mean, it's not really a true example of his writing as opposed to him trying to prove something,
He's trying to prove something. I think that he enters into a story and really tries to weave a lot of multi-layered storylines.
Yeah, but it's gotten to the point where it doesn't need to be. I mean, it's gotten past the novelty of it to the point where it's detrimental to trying to read it. And I
think he needs the perfect platform, the perfect vehicle for his writing style, and for a long time 100 Bullets was that, and I think it's getting back to that. It lost me for a little while, but
lost
I think
me for a long while actually.
But I think it's getting back to that. But mm-hmm. as much as I really enjoy his writing, I think that his name gets mentioned a little bit too much for what he has done to this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I have a name. Steve Niles.
Not known enough.
You think so? Really?
No, I would disagree. I would say
overrated.
He
actually
came in like huge,
like, yeah. gangbusters, and then
can't seem to finish.
In Bad Planet, In the Blood.
Oh,
he puts out he's touched on every friggin' monster there is.
He's doing the creeper.
Giant monsters.
He's doing the creeper for DC.
I just really like 30 Days.
Yeah, 30 Days of Night's a really great book, but it just seems like his. It just kind of petered out, and now it's just his name that sells stuff, and the stuff's not that fantastic.
Okay. I'm not a huge fan. What I have read, I like. But
yeah, I've read most of the stuff that's come on. It's been, like, okay.
I like a lot, some of his stuff.
If you finish it, that would be nice.
Starting
to make Kevin Smith look good.
Here's the name that might hurt some folks. Frank Miller.
I think he's completely overrated.
Completely overrated.
Right now, he is completely overrated.
Frank Miller.
Well,
wait, what is he?
Are you basing that on one series? Four issues of one series?
I just think, I can give two series. That right off the Batman Strikes Again, Dark Knight Strikes Again, or whatever the hell it's
called. Dark Knight Strikes Again.
And All-Star Batman and Robin right now. Dark Knight Strikes Again, I think, was a slap in the face. It was absolutely atrocious.
I think
it was terrible. The art was terrible. I don't know. Maybe he's getting arthritis. I don't know. But his art style, it's doing the Bill Sienkiewicz condition, because basically he started out, he was like Neil Adams. Bill Sienkiewicz was like Neil Adams or Sienkiewicz when he first started. It was fantastic looking art, and it slowly just got worse and worse and worse. I don't know if he's getting lazier and lazier and lazier, and just got weaker, and the storytelling went with it. And I think that's what's happening to Frank Miller stuff. I don't know if he's been in Sin City's world too long that he can't draw a superhero book anymore or write one.
First off, for me personally, I liked Dark Knight 2 or whatever, Dark Knight DKR
well,
2.
That's one person.
Yeah, well, but
you're the only person I've ever met.
There's a couple others out there, but it's a minority.
Do you like her? Did you like it, Chris?
It's been so long since I read it.
When you think of it, do you think good or bad?
I thought that it was.
It wasn't Dark
very
Knight Returns.
Pale
it wasn't.
Oh, it definitely wasn't.
Dark Knight.
But,
and I think
I don't think he was trying to accomplish that. I don't think he was trying to.
I
make,
think he was too. But you're going to make a book and you center it in the same world
because,
and you.
Yeah, but we. But
you make
we
a.
Put,
you basically make a sequel to it, and I think part of it is the fact that he got so many fans asking, "When's Dark Knight 2 going to come out? When's Dark Knight 2 going to come out?" That he just did it and. Wanted to be done with it.
Well, I think maybe that's part of it. But there's parts in that book that I really enjoyed. I mean, the Plastic Man, the whole concept of that, the whole kind of the Flash and what the government was doing. I mean, I thought that was some brilliant stuff. Personally, I really enjoyed. I mean, the art was different, but I read an article or an interview with him talking about that artwork and what he was trying to accomplish with it. And I can't remember it. I can't recall it at this time what it was, but I remember thinking. When I was reading it, that it made a lot more sense because mm-hmm. it was radically different from the first one. And while it's easy to sit there and look at it and go, well, it's bad, or, because it's not what we're used to seeing, because a creator evolves and changes or is trying to accomplish something different with a story.
I just think he's stuck too long in one world and just can't really write anything else.
It seems like everything is through
right now,
the Sin City Spyglass.
Because right now, All-Star Dark Knight. I mean, All-Star Batman and Robin is it really is. It's like Batman in Sin City's world. It has that feel about it.
I would like to see Frank come back and do one more great series and then ride off into the sunset. That's seriously.
Jeez, he's not that old. Good God.
God, he's been doing it for a long time.
This is my other problem. Is his art has really been faulty lately.
I don't agree with that. I think it's different.
Really? Do you see the Escapist cover?
Yeah,
the man has no spinal cord apparently.
Well,
because no one's body twists in that way except for Plastic Man.
Look at that Raketo cover. People rave about that art.
That's a different style. I don't think.
Well, that's all this is. It's a different. He's changed his style, and he did it before. I mean, look at his Daredevil stuff. Radically different from Sin City or from Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, Spider-Man stuff.
His Spider-Man stuff. I mean, he changes his styles for trying to accomplish different storytelling effects. I just think you're looking at it and going, well, it's not the dark. It's not the Frank Miller that I. You know, that want I, or that I grew up with or that I
no,
expect.
I think his Sin City stuff is cool. I've seen none of that I've disliked. It's up until just recently.
But there's some Sin City.
His 300 was great. I think that was by far one of his best series. Very underrated, well, actually.
But Dark Knight Returns 2 was, you know, he was doing Sin City stuff at the same time. So why would his art just... It's not like it just degraded. He was doing Sin City stuff at the exact same time he was doing that book.
I can't tell you. It's the last year that the art I've seen has looked terrible.
Well, Frank, call in.
Yeah.
Call us and email us and let
Grant
us know
Morrison.
If you think you're...
Overrated, I think.
Overrated?
I disagree. Just kidding.
I don't think he's overrated.
I think he's kind of
I think he's
in
a
the
touch.
Middle. I think he's in the middle.
It depends on who you talk to.
Well, that's certainly...
Yeah, that's sort
but
of
like
the weird...
Fear, you know, rabid Grant Morrison fans. I mean, they think he's God.
Yeah.
They literally think
okay.
he's some sort of God.
Same kind of writer, and we'll maybe lump them together.
Alan Moore?
Neil Gaiman?
I don't think he's overrated. I don't think he's underrated. I think he's...
Are Morrison and Gaiman, are those two guys kind of right
they
there?
They have that sort of people that would...
That British...
No, people that, like, love them and, like...
Right,
are
they're
just, like,
so hardcore passionate about their stuff. I think Gaiman... I don't think he's overrated. I think he's extremely talented. But...
I think we get too excited when we hear he's doing a series, though.
I'm really
especially
looking forward to Eternals.
But I am really looking forward to Eternals.
But there's not much stuff
but
that he's done that I haven't
when
liked.
1602?
I enjoyed that book.
I liked it and I didn't like it. It just wasn't, I guess maybe it wasn't what I was hoping for, I think is part of it.
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was...
But I didn't think
it was
his usual
fun.
Standard. I don't know, you're not in love with Sandman and all that stuff.
I'm not
so.
A huge...
I'm not a huge
but I've read, but I've read
fan.
His,
no, I mean,
I've read his novels
to some degree.
I've read his novels. I like Neil Gaiman a lot. I really do.
Yeah.
I just sometimes his stuff's a little off.
Morrison for me, it's just like sometimes his stuff is just too freaking weird.
Yeah.
And I think people give him a pass on it sometimes because he's Grant Morrison.
I always say he's a poor man's Warren Ellis.
Well, I think.
I'll say a middle class Warren Ellis.
I doubt Warren Ellis would agree with you.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure he wouldn't. I'm sure they're friends. Whatever.
There's a weird
but.
Similarity between the two, just in the sense that.
See, I think Warren Ellis is like a poor man's Alan Moore.
See, I think Alan
they're
Moore
all
is a little
poor men Stan Lees.
I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Warren Ellis at all. Because I think Alan Moore is just on a whole different planet creatively than any other comic.
Mentally.
Well, you know, I haven't had the pleasure to meet the man, so I don't know, but from what
Never
you
Never will.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But I just think...
He can smell a comic geek.
And I don't
well.
Think it's Ellis's fault or his doing that, but he just... I think people lump them sort of in the same realm.
They're in the same
British,
realm, but I think
saying,
I definitely
you know,
think... Grant's not quite as good as Warren Ellis.
Well, no,
when
I
he's
think,
good, he's amazing.
I think there's a similarity between the two in the sense that...
They both drink beer. And
they both drink a lot. Well, no, like, one of Ellis's traits that is kind of a strength and a weakness is that he throws so much up against the wall. He's always putting stuff out, putting out new things that...
And he does it in so many different areas.
So
too.
Many different areas. There's going to be stuff that isn't as good as others. And I think in a similar way, Morrison kind of approaches... He just throws out so many ideas or things he's going to do that some of it is going to fail. And I think both of those... What's kind of admirable about both of them is that there's people that are so afraid of doing either one of those things, I think.
That's sort of the common theme between the two of them. They both have the balls to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's... Like you said, that's kind of rare.
I agree with you.
It's a strength and a weakness.
What's up? Let's go over to the art side. John Romita Jr.
I think slightly overrated. I have that thing about his hair, though.
Yeah.
I told you, the way he draws his
hair. That's exactly what I thought.
It's very creepy. So there's something about it, but I like the way he draws in general. Yeah. For the most part, he draws Spider-Man great. As long as Spider-Man doesn't have any hair, he's fine. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe a little overrated, yeah. But he's good.
I've seen his style evolve over the years, and I think that when we look back on it, I think he's going to be one of the greats of this era of comics.
So you're saying he'll be the John Buscema, not the Sal Buscema of his generation?
Perhaps. I think that...
I don't know. When he first came out, I hated his art. I absolutely hated it. I couldn't stand seeing it.
I did kind of like it more so than I do now, actually.
See, I like it a lot now. I don't know. The thing that impressed me the most about him is that he was able to carve his own identity, you know, having a father as famous and popular as he does, and able to create a style that, while it in some ways... obviously is influenced from his father's work, it's gotten to the point where it's completely unique. And I really like his work now. I really love his art. But I don't know that he's underrated, because there's a lot of people that don't like his art.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you could say he's underrated in any way.
Well, I think he's a little overrated. Because they tout him like it's Alex
Ross
doing it.
Do they, though?
Everybody's doing something.
What about Alex Ross?
That was going to be one of those.
Overrated?
That's hard to say overrated, because I do love his art.
I think he is the same. Like with him, it's sort of the Bendis syndrome, that when you're on top, everybody takes shots. I don't care what anybody says that, hey, he uses models.
So
what?
So
there's a thousand.
So Tim Bradstreet.
Well, everybody does.
Most artists use photo reference of some sort. Yeah.
And trust me,
there's thousands of artists that could use any kind of photo reference they want and couldn't do what he does.
And I can say I've seen some of his models, and I know a few of them, and
they don't look like Superman, but physically, nothing. Yeah,
there's no, he uses it for shadows and how fabric drapes off things, because he has him actually wear the costumes and
he's using it for that. Hyper-realistic look that he's going
exactly.
That
I mean, that's what he uses the models for. It's not so much literally a photo. Like Tim Bradstreet, from what I understand, the guy uses, and I love his art, but he uses straight photos. I mean, the guy that's on the cover of The Punisher is a real guy. I was talking to him at the convention, and he says he looks exactly like that. He goes, he gets people stopping him at places, and he's a real nice guy.
Is he the big Popeye forearms?
I guess he's, I don't know. He says he looks exactly like that.
I love Tim Bradstreet's Punisher covers.
Oh, I do. They're the best covers, and some of the best covers in comics.
With Ross, I think, sequentially, he's not, it's hard for him to try and produce, I think, a really great sequential story.
He's a great cover artist,
and even like some of his stuff is it's really entertaining and enjoyable to look at. And his stories, like the Marvel stuff, they're just such great snapshots, and that's what it really is. It's almost like, you know, somebody went out and found this scene in, you know, was able to dive into a comic book, found this scene and took a picture of it, and it's amazing stuff, and he really gives it such a great...
You don't forget it whenever you see it.
But story-wise, it's not the greatest stuff. And
Will Eisner, he is not.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's sort of...
Yeah, Mark just walked in, and I know what his answer is going to be. He wrote down, he goes, Michael Turner. So, guys, Michael Turner?
Gosh, he's the best. Come on, somebody say something before I do.
You could probably say he's overrated, but I still think he's a talented artist.
He is way fucking overrated.
I think that
I had to use that word because there's
Mr.
no other
variant
way to say
cover too.
He's Mr. Variant cover, and he doesn't. Yeah. He can't draw a woman. I mean, everybody goes, "Oh, he draws his women so fantastic." The perfect example of how badly he draws are those damn action figures that are based off of his art.
Yeah.
Okay, the Superman, Batman. You know, Supergirl Returns, they're coming out Wednesday. Take a look online. Take a look at the Supergirl. It's horrid. The Identity Crisis series, they were all horrid. Every damn one of them. Ill-proportioned, arms too long, legs too short, bodies too weird, faces are weird. It's
skinny.
Like,
I remember you did that Flash cover and everyone freaked out about it. And
yeah,
I
but if you take all the color away, it was terrible.
It was... Yeah.
The color's fantastic. His colorist is fantastic. I want that guy coloring everything I do.
I was like, what?
I would be like, I'd be the next big thing. You couldn't help but be the next big thing.
How about the Kuberts?
I think they're overrated.
Really overrated?
Yeah, I
tell you what.
I would have said Andy
no, because they tout them. They tout them like they're the second coming.
I tell you this.
They're not
this,
their dad.
This, it's Morrison and Kubert working on Batman. It's after I saw that.
See, no. I haven't seen an error from that, so I'll.
Yeah,
he's
not overrated.
Up to now,
phenomenal.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Up to now, I have not been overly happy about their art style on things.
It's
I didn't really think it was that fantastic on 1602, and that's probably one of the things that actually bothered me on that book more so.
Oh, I thought that was beautiful.
It was good. It was decent art. Yeah. It just wasn't outstanding the way they tout these guys.
I was going to say maybe they were a little underrated only because I think they get compared to their father, and they almost get forgotten to some degree because of that. You know what I mean? It's like everybody just says, oh, well, they're Joe Kubert's kids, as opposed to sort of examining them as their own artists. Mm-hmm. And I think on their own, they may not be Joe Kubert, but who is?
Yeah.
Very, very few artists ever are. And I think on their own, they're extremely talented. It's hard, you know, it's the same thing sort of with Romita. You're always going to be compared to your dad. You're always going to be compared to because you have that last name. If those guys came into the art world without that last name, I think that they may be, you know, rated higher than they are because of it. I think they're just
always
under that microscope.
I think Junior has outgrown Dad.
I think to this point, not outgrown him, outgrown the label.
The label, yeah, exactly. Yeah. He has created his own name, and that's good.
Now that you've listened to the podcast, head to the forum section of AroundComics.com to post your thoughts on the show and talk with other comic fans from around the globe.
Tim Sale.
I love Tim Sale's work.
And this is one
apparently
that Mark and
apparently I am just Captain Negative today. I completely dislike his art except for the two Batman series, Dark Victory and Long Halloween. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really mind it on the Superman For All Seasons. But the Catwoman one was terrible looking.
I thought that was great.
I liked
great.
The Catwoman.
And I, the Hulk gray, Spider-Man blue, Daredevil yellow. I just wasn't really astounded by his art. I think it's very distinctive, and it works fantastic on Batman.
Jim Lee.
Definitely. It's hard. I really do like Jim Lee's art. But I think he is overrated.
I don't
but
think
he's gotten a lot better.
I don't think he's overrated.
I think he's well known for what he does.
I think he's
I think he's
awesome artist. I don't necessarily care to read stories drawn by Jim Lee.
He's almost too perfect.
I said this before. He's almost too good. He's almost too perfect that I kind of become detached from the stories because I'm too busy looking at the pretty artwork.
Well, I think he's gotten much better at telling a story. He wasn't necessarily very good at it when he first began.
Sure.
When he was doing the X-Men, but the art was so cool and fantastic.
Yeah.
You really kind of look past that. And now he's getting to be a much better storyteller, but I agree. And especially if you looked at All-Star Batman and Robin, the first issue they had this special edition, which was just the art,
uh-huh.
just his penciled art before they inked it.
It was beautiful.
And it was, God, it was astounding.
Yeah.
Backgrounds,
no
people, everything was amazing. The guy is a fantastic artist.
There's just something about it when I read it, I don't care about the story for some reason. You know what I mean? It's like I'm too mesmerized by the art to
it's too much to take in.
Something like that. I don't know.
Here's a guy that's been.
I had one.
Oh, okay.
How about Todd McFarlane?
Oh, completely fucking overrated.
His toys are awesome.
I mean, he doesn't draw anything.
I love those hockey figures, especially. The hockey ones are my favorite.
He changed the way that comics were drawn in an era that it ended up, after he was done, it was a copy of a copy of a copy, and it ended up not being as good. But the first guy to really use like black borders to
full page, no borders.
Did you guys ever read any of the Infinity Inc. stuff that he did?
Yeah.
When McFarlane did it, which is pretty.
And he did an issue of Spitfire and the Troubleshooters in the New Universe, too.
Yeah. The Infinity Inc. stuff is really interesting because you read that series up to the point where he started doing some of it, and then all of a sudden you have like pages where it's not just panels anymore. Like, the whole line of like everything's all messed up and like characters are talking and things are going on in the gutters of the pages and it's like, whoa, what's going on? which was before I read any of those, I was like, oh, McFarlane sucks, you know, and then I read those and I was like, oh, well, this is McFarlane stuff that's actually really visually
He brought a level of design that hadn't been seen in comics, mm-hmm. that I can't recall seeing. I don't think he's overrated.
He's definitely overrated for a guy who hasn't drawn a comic in 10 years.
If he came back today drew Spider-Man or Batman or any friggin' book, mm-hmm. I'm buying it.
I wouldn't. I actually would not.
I absolutely would.
Oh, I'd check it out.
I don't read Spawn anymore because I can't stand Angel Medina stuff because it's too friggin'.
Yeah, it's too wacky.
It's too Todd McFarlane-ish. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well,
it's like Todd McFarlane taken to a weird
on level. Acid. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it is. No, I don't. I don't. It's like I do like the guy's style to some degree. I just am not that astounded by it. I'm not that attracted to his art. I really am not.
Here's a guy that that doesn't get talked about that much, but has been very consistent. What are you holding up over there?
Holding up a quarter book that he bought here.
I have a copy of
Infinity Inc. That ain't Todd McFarlane.
It's not Todd McFarlane. It does have a skull.
Whose art is it?
It's Mr. Bones.
Hang on, we're waiting.
Martin King is guest penciler.
Oh, there you go. Martin King, and he had a long and illustrious career.
Art, actually.
And so, he had a great career.
Here's a guy that's not talked about a whole lot, but has been pretty consistently good. And I know that Tom, he actually lives here in the Chicago area, so we want to give him a little plug. Don Kramer is a guy that I'm...
Oh, that guy sucks ass.
I'm coming up with more and more of a respect for what he does as I start to realize, oh, that's Don Kramer.
I completely agree. I've liked his work on JSA. He's one of the best things about JSA because he tells a great story. He draws everybody great. And now he's doing the whole detective. He's drawing Batman and detective? He's drawing both, right?
Batman.
I think he's drawing both.
Is he doing?
He's doing the whole James Robinson storyline. Yeah.
And it's
different than his JSA
stuff.
And it's really, really cool. It is cool. I like him.
I agree completely. He's underrated. I didn't even know his name. Yeah, I mean, it was like I never... You never hear anybody talk about that guy.
And he's probably one of DC's. He's DC's top five artist right now. To me,
his JSA stuff.
Just solid. Yeah, sort of. Really good, clear storytelling.
Nothing flashy. Nothing, you know.
See, I can be.
You never get lost in the story.
You never. Yeah, no, you never do.
Good,
never at all.
Solid work.
John Cassaday.
And he'd be underrated, by the way.
Cassaday, I think, might be overrated a bit.
I agree.
I think when he, Planetary stuff?
Planetary's awesome.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Astonishing X-Men
here
has
and there.
Its highs
here
and lows.
It is here
the
and there.
First, like, the first,
his Union Jack miniseries, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Actually, because I just bought the hardcover for that Astonishing, and I was going back and looking at it. I got to say, actually, that first 12 issues was pretty damn good.
It was.
I mean, there was some...
It seems like these last... Two have been
not
a little odd.
A
not
little
quite up to the
face. Like, the framing of everything is just really not conducive to his style. Like, he's not the type of artist that should be doing six consecutive close-up shots
of people's faces.
His style of doing it.
He did a Union Jack miniseries, which was actually pretty good. It preceded the his Cap run that he did.
Yeah.
And I think the Cap run was great. America, I mean, I think he kind of revamped him and made him look like everybody's drawing him now. He actually kind of started the whole more chainmail on him and everything else.
He's
kind
the
of actually
sort of
drawing that stuff.
Artist that if he gets like on the right project,
he's amazing.
It's amazing. But you can see limitations to what his style, like that big cinematic style.
Yeah, I don't think he'd do like Hawk and Dove very
well. It won't translate necessarily to
what
every
type. What about David Finch?
I know Chris's answer, but I think he's a little overdone in the Moon Knight book. I think Sal said that too, actually. I agree completely with him. It seems it just seems too much.
Overdrawn that book.
Yeah, it's overdrawn.
It's like he could pull back a little bit, pull the reins back.
And it would be better.
Yeah, because I didn't mind him when he was the issues he did on New Avengers.
Yeah.
I like those issues. Yeah.
Could that be the inker? Is he inking his own stuff?
We'd have to go look.
He might be a Moon Knight, actually.
It's kind of weird because I like his stuff, but I see exactly what you're saying about... You see Moon Knight, and it's just kind of like...
It's...
Whoa. In like...
It's like
every
too
muscle
much. Yeah, every single...
Yeah, there's apparently the skin is very very thin around the muscle, which is everywhere.
There's like no depth perception. You know what I mean? It's like there's everything is clearly in focus, no matter where you're standing in the panel. You know what I mean? It's like whether he's 10 feet away or 2 inches away, it's the exact same amount of detail.
Most of his other stuff I've always enjoyed.
I have, too.
I've seen that I really like.
I don't know much about his art except for the new Avengers stuff, and I don't know what else he did.
Yeah, he did Authority, and it was awesome stuff.
Awesome, man.
Which run on Authority?
I think the beginning.
The first run was his. With Ellis.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Ellison?
No, that was Frank Quietly, I think, that started.
Quietly was with Millar.
Yeah.
Fitz started on the beginning. But that was the next name I was going to bring up was Frank Quietly.
I love Frank Quietly, Superman.
I love Frank Quietly stuff, and I used to not like it really a whole lot. Even, like, Preacher stuff.
It's growing
At
on
first,
me.
I didn't like
Preacher
it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
What Preacher stuff?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Steve Dillon. Never mind. Fuck, I hate Frank Quietly. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're right.
Don't
it's
know
Steve
shit.
Dillon.
Brian
who
Hitch,
was it?
Brian Hitch.
It was Hitch.
The first one
Hitch.
I
was
who I think is.
I was going to say him.
Fantastic.
I think he's underrated.
If he could just speed it the fuck up, I'd be so
underrated.
Happy.
Yeah,
Hitch
is
phenomenal.
Yeah, it wasn't Finch that did Authority.
It was Hitch.
It was Brian
Hitch.
Hitch.
Yeah, get
it's
those
very,
two.
Very close.
They're
both spelling. They both
bald.
Have eyes.
They, I don't know.
They
Hitch,
all look
Finch.
Like me.
They're both heterosexual.
I don't know.
They both drink beer.
I never.
Frank Quietly, Superman.
Phenomenal.
In All-Star Superman.
Best.
Looks.
I think that's his best work so far.
Oh, I think
All-Star
it is.
Superman.
Super, yeah, We Three, though.
Yeah.
No,
that was
great.
A fantastic.
That was
Grant Morrison.
All-Star Superman, that's the way, to me, Superman
should
look
always
like.
Look, yeah. I agree.
Like that.
I agree completely.
Like,
that's actually why I'm pissed off about this damn movie again.
Like, Superman should be a big, broad-shouldered guy. He shouldn't be like.
And I like the
a
fact
sort of Jim Lee-ish version.
Well, I like the fact
that
when he drew him as Clark Kent, he really dumbed it down.
Yeah,
he
he's
really
hunched over
down.
And he looks
he
like
made
he's
a point
sweating
of
and like
exactly.
He's about to like pass out.
Yeah.
What about
one of our favorites that I don't think gets enough attention, so I'll just say he's underrated. Phil Hester.
I loved his Green Arrow.
Yeah, I don't know that he's underrated as much as he's just
I think
not
he's
known.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
it's
that's
like
part of it.
It's
the underrated,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely underrated.
I love his
and I did love his. I mean, that was one of the reasons I kept reading Green Arrow for so long. Was because of Phil Hester.
Yeah. I bought Nightwing.
And I'm not saying this just
because
I have
Hester.
A regular drawing at home of Captain America by Phil Hester. I'm not saying that at all, but.
I can't wait for him to start his run with Kirkman on Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. That's one of the things this podcast has taught me. A year ago, and it's almost exactly a year, I didn't know who the hell Phil Hester was. We went to Wizard World Chicago, talked to him, thought he was a great guy. Started checking out his work, you know. At the,
I know him.
You tapped me on the show. And said, "Oh, go over there, talk to Phil Hester." I'm like, "What does he do?" He's like, "Ah, he's on Nightwing." At that point, that's all I knew Phil Hester did. In the last year of Green Arrow, I've looked into his stuff as a writer with a Coffin and what's some of the other Stronghold, which got Please come out with the second issue.
Yeah.
Devils do anytime.
Phil, another underrated writer.
Okay.
Paul Jenkins.
Oh, totally underrated.
I think he's getting
totally.
I don't know if he's underrated or he does it to himself almost. He kind of writes what he wants to write.
Yeah.
I think he think he's just quiet.
I just think he's phenomenal.
But if you look at his body of work, I mean, it's all pretty good stuff.
That X-Men mythology book he wrote.
Oh, that was a great issue.
I was like pissed because he hasn't done any more.
Yeah.
Because that was like one of the best X-Men stories I've ever read. I mean,
I thought
I just,
the Sentry was great.
Sentry,
yeah.
The first one.
The Inhumans.
Yeah.
Inhumans was excellent.
His work
that
on Spider Man.
That is the best. I think that is the best Inhuman story
really?
Ever done. The 12-issue miniseries, maxi series, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think totally underrated. Totally.
Yeah.
Jai Lee.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to say he's a bit overrated. Personally, I like his stuff.
Ooh.
I do like his stuff,
but
sometimes I hate it.
He is a guy who needs the right project.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, Tom was saying about Cassidy. He has to have these guys. You couldn't see him doing Superman, really. I'm sorry, you couldn't.
You could see him doing
cheery for Jay Lee.
You could see him doing a certain Superman story, but you couldn't see him doing
But you could easily see him doing Batman.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, you could see him doing
Daredevil. Yeah, it needs to be a darker...
He needs to have a dark character, and he when he does those, he does
fantastic. Let's talk, how about some, like, you know, more indie guys?
Tony Moore.
Oh, okay, that's not who I was going to... But,
oh. All indie guys are underrated.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's true, I guess.
That's why they're indie guys.
That.
Move on. No.
Dave Sim.
I don't want to say
I don't know if he's overrated necessarily, but his art style really hasn't changed much in, what, 25 years.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
I think
the same. It's maybe it's gotten a little more refined if you look at the really early issues, but it hasn't really changed much. And besides, you really don't see him on anything else.
Yeah, I
think
mean,
he's done a story here and there, but, you know, I have never seen him on a superhero book, so I couldn't really tell you if he's any good or not. I mean, he did Wolveroach. It's close. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one because he's such an iconic sort of figure in that world, and yet it's like, yeah, that's a tough one to say whether
Picard.
I think he's overrated, but
Harvey Picard. Well, it's not his art. He doesn't draw.
No,
I'm saying as a writer.
Yeah.
Storyteller.
Well,
underrated.
Yeah, I got one.
Paul Pope. Underrated.
I don't know. After Batman
100,
I gotta say underrated, man. That was
really underrated.
And rated.
Just rated.
Just rated. He's rated.
What is Matt Wagner.
Is it Ben Temple Smith?
Ben Temple Smith.
Right. Oh, I love him on film.
Yeah.
Love him on
but
film.
Is he underrated?
He might be a little overrated.
Yeah.
He might be a little overrated.
He hasn't.
His 30 Days a Night stuff was a little too wonky for me. That's why I like how Fell.
Once again, he's the kind of guy that it depends on the story.
Project. Not going to see him on the Avengers.
Yeah, Hatter M.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Fell,
ooh,
fantastic.
Humberto Ramos. Did he do Revelations?
What's he doing
now?
What's he doing right now?
Wolverine. He just started.
Oh yeah, I have to say. Well, I have to say, I kind of like his Wolverine. I didn't like his style before. I didn't like his style before because it is really cartoony.
Yeah.
And I read Revelations.
Did you like Revelations?
I did like Revelations. The book itself was fantastic, and the art was really cool, and it worked well for the story.
It's another Jenkins book.
But
by the way.
I mean, the weird eye thing going on in the book was odd, but I've seen his earlier stuff, and I was never all that astounded by it. I thought it was really, really cartoony.
Yeah,
but I really did like it on Wolverine.
I did like
him when he was out of his mask more so than in.
I think he's actually growing as an artist.
He's definitely more detailed than they used to be. Kind of.
Yeah, he used to do a lot less, less detail and more just block kind of. Although his necks are still kind of annoying. He does like the longest friggin' necks I've ever seen.
He does a great Green Goblin though. Just a great Green Goblin. Eduardo Rizzo.
I
love his stuff. I love his art. I don't know that
he reminds me. I know this is gonna sound strange. He reminds me of a Richie Rich artist. When I was a little kid, there was a guy that used to draw
really
Richie Rich, and he had this same very distinct style. I could always tell when this guy did his art because that's when I started getting. I was getting older, and I still read this. I read superhero comics, and I was always into the art. And I think that's why I always liked Eduardo Rizzo. As soon as I saw his art.
Okay. Well, guys, we're yammering, and it's fun, so I hope...
Only halfway through this episode.
Yeah, Michael Von Oeming.
Mike Oeming...
Perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
rated exactly the way he should be.
Perfect.
George Perez.
Fine, he's fine.
I think fine.
A bit overrated.
Shaken.
I think a bit overrated.
Overrated.
Underrated.
Oh, overrated.
Severely. He's a legendary creator.
Greg Rucka.
In your mind, overrated.
In the rest of the world,
he's probably just
We could go on and on. Anyway, these are supposed to be shorter episodes to give everyone just a nice little boost to the end of their week or give them a nice introduction to Around Comics. So we're going to go ahead and finish there, continue the conversation on the forum. If you would like, please visit us there at www.aroundcomics.com. Everyone?
Jim Belent.
Sal, Ooh. Thank you. Mark, you have a great rest of your week. You guys.
Episode's over.
Is it
all?
Can Tom go home now?
My girlfriend keeps calling me.
Hold on, I gotta find
my
her.
My wife keeps calling me.
I gotta find the end.
I'm supposed to be
here.
Drinking liquor.
Everywhere in and around comics.
What about Eric Powell?
No.
Eric Powell. Underrated. He's kind of underrated. I do like
underrated.
His style.
Underrated.
The, everyone else, if we didn't mention you, you're fine.
Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
God, I love his stuff. And I used to not like it. But
have you seen him on Wolverine Origins?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Doesn't really work well.
Yeah.
Everyone have a fantastic week.
Which is
weird because
it works
again on Monday.
Episode's over.
With another full-length
episode. It's never over.
In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com. Or visit the Contact Us section of our website. For that and the latest in comics news and opinions, go to www.aroundcomics.com. Music for this show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next week, where the panel will change, but our mission stays the same, bringing you the best in discussion, news, and reviews in and around comics.